the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you tonight. I too appreciated the singing and the devotional. I'd like to amen that. And I'm the first one that needs to open my heart to God. Well, we all do. We all do. I appreciate that, brother. This morning, we saw how important it is to fear God. And to fear God is to realize or acknowledge His existence, His greatness, His power, and take that truth into my life, make it a part of my life, make God a part of my life. God has a purpose for us here, and we need to bring our lives in with His and serve Him. I'd like to talk a little more about God. It's such a wonderful big subject that I'm not able to handle it. I'll know that before I start. There's so much about God. You talk about God all week. But tonight I'd like to look at Genesis chapter 1. And I'd like to look at our God as the Creator God. There's so many things we could look about Him. Brother Daniel did a good introduction there. Sanctifying ourselves in the presence of a holy God. I'd like to look at chapter 1 and see His power, His greatness in creation. I'd call this a worship service tonight. Let's go over this story of creation and let's just worship God. Let's pause and see His greatness and worship Him together. The first verse we looked at this morning, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That verse is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It's a foundation verse for the whole Bible. Most of the Bible is based on the first few chapters of Genesis, are based on the first few chapters of Genesis, the whole Bible. But that first verse, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, is the base for all the rest. In the beginning means in the beginning, before anything else. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd sit in church sometimes and tried to figure out, you know, how is God an eternal God? How is it? You know, He never had a beginning. You know, there's things that we don't understand. But in the beginning, when is the beginning? My mind can't even reach that one. When is the beginning? But in the beginning, God was. And just that fact puts Him way beyond me. You know, way beyond me, because I only have 51 years. That's a very, seems like a while sometimes. And another, it's so little. But in the beginning, before anything else, for at the beginning of everything, God was. And at a certain point, God decided to create. And there's a lot of things, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of questions I have that I don't have answers for. Someday I want to ask Him some questions. I get in the presence of Jesus and the God, I want to ask Him some questions. Or maybe we'll just automatically know. I don't know. But why did God decide to create? I think some of that is obvious in the Bible. When that was and what all took place, we don't know. But before He created, anyone who makes anything, before you create, you plan, you think, and you have a purpose for doing it. So this great big God, you know, first He had a plan in His head and in His mind, and then He creates the heaven and the earth. And these are foundational truths. Sometimes we don't think about it, but these are foundational truths that affect us in a very personal way. We'll be looking at that the next few evenings here. But in the beginning, God planned and then He created. And so everything that was made, He made. The Bible is clear about that. Everything that was made, He made. And He had a purpose for making it. Now let's keep on reading here. Start again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, now this, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree, of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Isn't that a beautiful passage? It's one of the most beautiful, well, there's so many. It's a beautiful passage in the Word of God anyway. Such simple language, so easy to understand, and such profound truth. And we see the greatness of God here in that he created all he did, all he created in those 6 days by simply, and God said. We can't understand that greatness of that power. That's why I think Brother Daniel, and I think we need to remember that today, that's why things didn't go right for David when he didn't follow the way God said. And I think tonight as we look at the greatness of God, one thing we need to remember is that he is so great, and when he says something, there's only one thing we should do. That's listen and obey. But we look at him here, and here he starts out in the beginning. The first thing we see here, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So day one, there was first of all this ball of minerals and rocks and dirt and whatever, and water. And at that point, since the earth was flat, I assume, the water covered the whole thing. You know, even now, even today, water covers 7/10 of the earth. And so if everything would be flat, the water would cover the whole thing. So right at the beginning here, we already have the minerals. We have rocks. And I haven't gotten into that world much. I'd like to. I have a daughter who likes to collect rocks, and anything she thinks looks nice, she collects them. I have a shelf in my office, a whole bunch of rocks. Some of them she brings in, some of them I do. But the world of minerals is a wonderful world. The world of rocks. You take a rock, you can take a simple rock, and it's like anything else, everything else he made. If you break it down and study it, it's got order and design to it. You take a rock and you study it down, and you get down into the... And I'm not a scientist, I sometimes wish I would be, but I'm not. But I like to look at things. And you take a rock and there's all these different... You break them down, everything has order. And maybe I'll say this before going on. Order is a result of planning. Order is a result of a mind. Let's say you go to a... Well, let's start here. Friday. When did I fly in? Friday, I was flying in from Miami to San Francisco. And I missed part of the flight. I was tired and slept part of the way. Part of it was cloudy. But anyway, when I woke up and I started looking out the window, and I see this, I don't know where I was, Nevada, somewhere there and there. And you've probably seen that, a lot of just rock, sand, and dirt. And not, didn't start to see any plants. But you know, even in that, there was beauty. Erosion, wind erosion. And then water erosion. Well, I guess it's water erosion. It doesn't rain much. But you see the forms and the even that was beautiful. I was just enjoying it. The beauty of... I like trees and I like plants. There was no trees and no plants. But even in that, there was beauty. But it was a natural beauty. But then all at once, I started noticing lines, straight lines, crossing each other, a straight line. Oh, what's that? Can you tell me, if I see straight lines in a desert, straight, and they cross, and they what's happening there? Man. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't make order. God has order all over. But when we see, when we saw all the ones here, these men, they must have been from Oregon or something, with Costa Rica, we don't do it that way. But they make all the roads straight. You know, they cut them and they cut corners. And I started noticing they weren't every mile. There weren't enough people to make it worth doing that. But here they'd have these roads, and they'd run straight and they'd cross straight. And even from the airplane, I could say there was some order there. You know, the wind erosion and water erosion is not, it's just at random as the water runs and gravity. And but when there's a straight line and a straight line, just simply a straight crossing line, I instantly knew There was a mind there that planned straight lines and make them straight. That doesn't happen on its own. So I didn't, and it's one thing, I went to one place, did like we do in Costa Rica. There was one place where the line was straight, and then all at once at a corner, I noticed a curve. And I watched and looked, and then I saw there was a gully there, so they had to dodge around the gully. That's why our roads aren't straight in Costa Rica, because we have too many hills and gullies, I guess. But that's just a simple, I just noticed that. Whenever you see order like that, you know there's a mind behind it. Now let's go to another scene. Let's say you like to go to the river or go to the beach or go to a river. Let's say go to a river. And, of course, in the river, rocks are just thrown all over. You know, the water and the rocks are just... It's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with it. It's beautiful. But let's say, Russell, I'm walking along here and all at once I find a place where all the rocks are cleaned off, and there's a perfect circle of rocks. What do I know as soon as I see that? Someone, you know, there's rocks laid in a perfect circle. What do I know as soon as I see that? Somebody did it. Probably a little boy was sitting here playing, or maybe a man was sitting there just. Whenever there's order, a man has designed it. A mind has designed it. Or if I find rocks crossed like this, there's a mind there that that planned that and put that order there. Order doesn't happen just at random. There's a mind behind it. Another thing I think I said this morning, Steve gave me, just let me use one of his cell in case I get lost. I'm still not sure how I'm going to use it, Steve. If I'm lost and don't know where I am, how I'm going to tell you, help me. But he gave me this cell, and let's imagine I'd be driving down the road and there's a landslide. You know, a whole bunch of, well, you don't have many land. Well, in the mountains you would, right? Yeah. It was a landslide. And laying on the landslide is a cell. Don't land there. And, of course, the landslide, the way the earth or the dirt moved down is at random, is just scattered out. And when I see a cell laying there, and I pick this thing up, you know, and I see what this thing, and I automatically know someone planned this. There is a mind behind this. Just the machine in itself, and I don't understand much about cells, but just the machine in itself is it's amazing, you know, the way it opens like this and closes and does things more wonderful than that. And then besides just the machine in itself, the structure of the machine itself is the planning in it, the programming in it, and all this thing can do. I have one at home too. Someone gave me one about 3 months ago, so, but I think it's as good as this one. Steve, want to trade? No. I'm kidding. But besides just the machine, the programming that's in this thing. Mine has got a calculator in it, and it doesn't have a camera. I think yours, this has got a camera, I think. I see something about a camera on it anyway. I haven't. But you know, whenever you see something like that, this is now more complex than laying stones in a circle. This is much more complex. Whenever you see something where there's order and there's programming, there's planning, you know there's got to be a mind that planned it. Never would you find a cell just on its own. Just happened that the right minerals and the right rocks and the right things happened to roll together. Here's a cell. You know, here's a landslide. And just boom, boom, pop. That comes a pop. No, no way. No way. And that's the same way it is with creation. Whenever there is order, there was a mind that designed it. Order does not just happen. That's good if you boys have a bedroom. You know, order doesn't happen in your bedroom unless you make it happen. You know, order always takes an effort and takes a plan. Disorder comes at random. Just turn it loose. Don't worry, boys. You should see my desk sometimes. I need a little more brain to organize it. But you see what I'm saying? Wherever there's order, there is a mind that designed it. And if you look at, let's say, our human bodies, and you look at the DNA and the program and all that, it's incredible. Proof that there is a wonderful God. There's a mind that designed it. And there was a mind that planned for it. And so here we have, first, we have the earth. Again, we're back to the earth. Here we have the earth, the mineral world. It's here in a, it's a ball, and it's covered with water. And you know, water is a wonderful thing. H2O, it's got just the right balance of the different elements in it. It's a balance of hydrogen and oxygen just right. If that would be slightly altered, it would be poisonous. You know, who set that thing just right? The right on the molecule level. Who set that just right? Just the right ones to make water. You know, water's a wonderful thing. Just talking about it, I wish I could have a drink of water. You know, it's probably one here, but I don't like to drink in front of people, so I don't usually try it up here. But, you know, you take a cup of water. Water washes. Water freezes. Water boils. Water evaporates. Water, a cold, a good bath. Water is a wonderful thing. And it's just the perfect balance, what God wants it to do. Yeah. And if that balance would be off just a little bit, it would be a poisonous. It would be a poison. Since it's just balanced right. Water is wonderful. And 7/10 of the earth is covered with water. There's so much water. And without water, there's no life. You know that too, don't you? No life without water. All life depends on water. The wonders of creation. So that was just, here we have this ball just covered with water, but it's dark, you know. Everything is dark. And God's Spirit moves over the face of the waters. He's moving over this. And He has a plan. He's not finished yet. This is not what He was planning. He's just starting. And then He says, let there be light. And would you like to see that? Let there be light, and just whoosh, light. And what is light? I can't explain that. I'm not enough of a scientist to explain that. But light is a wonderful thing. God is light. The presence of God is light. In heaven there is light. But light is energy. And again, we would have no life without light, without the sunlight. No plants would live. We wouldn't even live without light. Light also gives us color. You understand that? I don't understand it. I just know it's true. Light gives us color. You know, when there's dark in the nighttime, you ever notice night is black and white? When the night there's not enough light, I guess, or something. But when you need light for color. It's a different way that different materials reflect or whatever light makes a different color. So the different dresses, the different shirts, the different colors of hair. It's the light that makes the way the light reflects. You can explain that better than I can probably. But all color comes from light. The rainbow. You know, the rainbow is a wonderful display of the prism of light and the colors. Isn't that wonderful? That God, being such a great, big, serious God, you'd think He could just make things black and white and serious. That's a wrong concept we have. But anyway, God is colorful. And in creating light, light is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let there be light, and He said, and it was good. And it's still good. Light is good. The marbles of light, if you study light and you get into the technique, you know, they can really get into a lot of things in that. You know, how did God He just planned it and He said it and there was light. Now next we have Him dividing the firmament, or making the firmament. He's dividing the waters from above and the waters from below. And He puts the firmament in between there, which is a blanket of air. Blanket of air around the earth. They say between 60 and 100 miles deep, I guess. This blanket of earth, or air around the earth. And again, the air is 78%. That probably varies. Well, I'm not sure. 78% nitrogen, 20% oxygen, and 2% is other gases. Just a perfect balance. They say if that would be, let me see, if oxygen would be 32% instead of 20%, it would ignite. You'd light a match, or your lawnmower would hit a rock and poof, the whole thing would blow up. It was just a little different balance in there. But everything is just balanced, just right. And so we take a good breath of air. You know? God has the balance just right of air that we have. And we take it for granted, the wonderful, wonderful air that God made here and the blanket around the earth. And He divided the waters above and the waters below, which is the water down on the ground and in the rivers and in the seas, from the water that's up above in the clouds. So here He created the water cycle. And how that works. You know, if you stop and think about it, let's say it'd be up to us to water, let's say just the state of Oregon. We'll give you Mennonites here in Tangent a good job. Let's see if you can irrigate. We could just start with this one valley here. What's this valley called? Pardon? I can't make sure I can pronounce that, but anyway, you know what it is. Let's say we're gonna give you the job of watering. There's no water gonna fall from the sky anymore, so you're gonna water this valley. What all would you need? You stop and think of when it rains, if it rains a half an inch, how big is this valley? Let's say it's 10 miles by 40 miles. It's probably bigger than that. Let's say it's 50 by 10, 50 by 20, whatever miles. And you give that a half an inch of water over that whole thing. How much water is that? Somebody would like to try to do some math? Figure that one out. That's a lot of water. And I imagine your grass fields will need more than a half an inch, right? Now, how would we go about to cover this whole valley with water, all the water that your crops need? Imagine all the motors and pumps and I don't know what all we need just to do that. And yet God set something in order in silence. No smoke, no roaring motors, no blah, 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 blah. Everything is silence. And it just happens. You know, we take it for granted, but that's a marvel. The thing of the water cycle and the way that the molecule, a molecule of water by itself is lighter than the air. So when the water gets heated and the molecules move fast and jump, when they get one of them jumps out, he's lighter than air, so he goes up. See? Now water is denser, that's why it's heavier when it's together. But anyway, so this is planned this way. So when water gets heated by the sun, in the sea or on the road where it gets hot, it's planned that way so that the water cycle, so water goes up. And then up there it cools again. You know, what all kind of machines do we need to cool it down again? First to heat it up and then to cool it down again. But anyway, this cools off by itself and so then it condenses down again into clouds and the clouds get heavier and a white cloud, you know, is not as heavy, but you get a dark cloud and a dark, it gets some, and then all just, and it's, next time it rains, you stop and think about it, boys. It's a wonderful thing. No hydraulic pumps, no hoses, no machines, no roaring, no diesel, no gas. I mean, it just, God set that in order in a way that just, next time it rains, just stand and worship God as it rains once falls over you. It's a wonderful thing. So God set this into action. It happens on thousands of years. This happens again and again. In such a simple way and yet powerful. He waters the earth. And I'm sure He designed it that those areas of Nevada and some of those desert places, they don't get water. But where we need water, we have water. The wonderful thing of that. You know, just the being able to just say that. But you know, before He said it, He had to plan it. And such a mind to be able to plan that. Yeah? I couldn't even start doing that. The dividing of the waters. And then He divides the land and the water. And He puts the clouds up and the water up in the clouds. And there's a possibility of a canopy. You've probably read about that. I'm not going into that now. But first the clouds, the water up there, and the water below. But it's still all just one ball of water. And then He says, let's divide the water from the land. And I would have loved to see that. The Bible says in Job that the angels were singing. The angels were singing as God was creating. Can you imagine that picture? And He says, now let the water and the land separate. And all at once, I can imagine volcanic eruptions and the earth just buckles up, you know, and the continents come up out of the water and there's mountain ranges and things just... And then He sets into order this thing of the way gravity, after it rains, the way gravity, the water runs down and runs back to the seas. And that's finishing the water cycle. Again, a wonder of God's creation. And then after He has that, then He says, then, you know, now we have the water. There's light, at least on one half of it, it's light. And there's blue water, let's say. And then now there's mountains sticking out of it. But these mountains and land would have looked like Nevada. There are no plants, nothing on it. You know, it's sort of drab. And then God says, let there be plants. And all at once, these plants start growing all over this. And here the ladies like plants, like flowers, I do too. And all at once, and can you, a world of plants, can you imagine? How about if I'd ask you to invent 10 new kinds of plants? How would you design the leaves? How would you design the stems? How would you design the flowers? But God, in His great mind, just let there be plants, and there was, I don't even know, I didn't take time to look that up, how many kinds of plants and trees, grasses, bushes, vines, orchids, flowers, and such a variety of color in the flowers, such a variety of patterns, such a variety of different plants. It's fascinating. And He all designed that. Such a great big God. All the different plants and things. And then there's photosynthesis. This is the way the plant makes life. You know, the plant needs sunlight. The plant needs carbon dioxide. And the plant needs minerals and water. Takes out of the roots. And with those things, they make everything we eat, except for the minerals like salt and things. Everything else we eat comes from plants. So plants are really, every time you look at a leaf is a food factory. And some of them make little grass seeds, and others make wheat, and others make apples. But everything we eat, and the animals we eat, they have to eat the plants too. But everything we eat is food made by these factories, our leaves. Leaves are food factories. They make everything we eat. We eat a lot of variety of things. And all this is set in by God's mind, you know. Sometimes when I look at the greatness of God and I see all this, I wonder, oh, wait a minute. Is there really someone that can do all that? Sometimes I wonder, maybe the atheists, maybe that's what they get hung up on. You know, is there really a mind that can think all that, can plan all that? Well, it'd be worse to say it came by chance. That'd be still harder. It's just that someone has such a great big mind that we can't even... You know, as we look at this and we look at creation, what happens? Like I said this morning, God gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. God is so big. And then He makes the sun, moon, and stars and the universe. And you've studied some of that, I'm sure. I didn't get the details on distances. You know, how far it is to the moon and then the stars. And I can just imagine, again, just... God said, let there be. And He just, you know, and then the distance between, just say, let's say, just our galaxy, the Milky Way, just our galaxy, the distance, and I don't have that detail right now, the distance from one end of our galaxy to the other is incredible. They measure it in light years, you know that. You know, it's so far, they measure it in light years. And a light year is a distance. Light can travel in 1 year. It's a distance we can't even understand. So scientists have calculated, they might be off a little bit, but they can be off a little bit. It doesn't make much difference at distance that big. This is immense. And now, you know, as man have bigger telescopes and they go beyond our galaxy, they go beyond our galaxy, and what do they find? They find another galaxy and another one. And they say that beyond our galaxy there's millions of galaxies. I don't know how they count them, how they know. But beyond our galaxy, which is so big, we can't even, you know, calculate the distance. It's so big. Now there's millions of others. And I can almost, I don't know if God chuckles or not, but I can just imagine God when He made that. We give them something to think about. And He says, just let it go on and on and on. You know, make it so big that we can't fathom it. Well, you have those men, those scientists, something to think about. They can stretch themselves and never reach the end. It's, I think, this creation. And I think the reason God did that, listen, I think the reason He did that is that you and me, that we bow our knees and bow our hearts and worship His greatness. That's where we should be, anyway. So as we look at these wonderful things that He made, it just calls us to worship Him, to love Him, and to obey Him, to serve Him. Oh, huh. How foolish can we be to argue with a God like that? How foolish can we be to argue with a God like that? And then we get in the next day, He makes the birds and the fish. I like birds, and I like any kind of animal. But there, in the birds, He has 153 species of owls, 153 species of owls, 309 species of hummingbirds. You ever know that? 309 species of hummingbirds. Costa Rica, I think, has over close to 100, I think. There are a lot of different kinds of hummingbirds. 690 kinds of sparrows. 200 kinds of woodpeckers. And all the birds and the different sizes, some of them are big, some of them are little. And all the color and all the design. And let's look at a woodpecker. You know that. You've probably read this. A woodpecker's designed to peck wood. You know, if you would take your head and beat it against a tree as hard as they do for compared to the size, you'd bash your head apart. But they were designed. They've got something between the beak and their skull, like a cushion or something. They were designed to be able to peck wood. And they can peck it hard. Just the other day I was listening to one. We were talking about it. Yeah, the big pilot woodpecker, the big one. Oh, boy, they can beat hard, you know. And they also have a special tail. Do you ever think about how they hang on like this? Their tail has little spikes in it. You don't think about it, but they can sit there and they grab hold of their feet, and their tail has like spikes, and they're actually leaning on their tail. They can lean on their tail, and they can go at it. They were designed to do that, you know. They weren't designed to eat fish worms. They weren't designed to eat fruit. They were designed to peck in the wood and get those little insects out of there. Isn't that amazing? And there's so many kinds of birds. And each bird has its own song. I was listening yesterday. I found a new bird. What was it, Steve? We found it in your book. It was a warbler. It was a new one for me out here in the West. And, of course, I remember birds from Virginia when I was young and in Costa Rica. It was a beautiful bird. And I was hearing some birds sing. Aren't they beautiful the way they sing? And each bird has a unique sound, a unique song. You can take a robin. You can take a robin and raise him all by him. Get him out of his nest just a little and take him and raise him and feed him worms and whatever you want and raise him up. And when he gets big, he'll sing just like a robin, even though he's never heard a robin. He'll sing like a robin because he's a robin. And when they make their nests, the robin always makes the nest the same way. You know, they make first and then they line it with mud. And if you see a little hummingbird nest, in Costa Rica you have a beautiful little bird, just a little like this. And he has a little tail, he wags around like this. And he weaves together in the very fine, it's like fine fibers. And he makes a hanging nest. And it starts up here small and it comes down and then it goes and hangs down. And as you look at it, it almost looks like just trash hanging there. But if you look closely, it's a cute little thing, and it's on the side, it's got a hole in it. And over the hole, it's got a little roof on it, every single one of them. They have a little roof that they wove, just a small little thing, and just a little hole about this big, and then a little roof on it. They need that because in the rainforest, it rains so much. So there's a little roof to keep them dry. Every single one makes a nest exactly like that. It was designed in them, and that's just the way they, you know. The hawks, the woodpeckers, everything have their own design. And when you look at all that, I like animals, I like birds, and what I like best about it is, as I enjoy these things, I can worship the man who, the creator, the person who created this, a wonderful big God. And then we go, the next day he made animals and man. I'm not going to spend too much time with man today, but then he made the animals, and the variety of animals. You know, there's insects, there's spiders, there's worms, there's lizards, there's snakes, there's frogs, there's turtles, there's mammals, and you go on and on and on. There's so many. And there's big ones, and there's little ones, and there's the microscopic world, everything. And everything was designed to do what it's supposed to do and designed for its certain specific situation. They're designed for that. And they do it out of instinct. It's not that they're that smart. They don't stop and think and plan. It's just instinct that's put in them, and I don't understand instinct. But they do everything just the way God planned it. They were designed. The other day, my brother Pablo and I were in Nicaragua. It's about 3 weeks ago, I think. And we were there for a retreat, and we're teaching, both of us. And we're both sort of like kids. As you know, Pablo, he was here. And after the meeting there at the little church house, in the back part they have like a kitchen where they do the cooking, not like you cook here. They cook with fire, and there's a dirt floor. And anyway, we were out there eating our rice and beans and tortillas and some hog meat they'd butchered. And so here we were looking all at once here on the wall of this building. We see this, it was about 1.5, 2 inch wasp, and it was orange. I had never seen them. Pablo said he'd seen them before. I had. It was an orange wasp, and it had blue wings. Fascinating little looking little thing. If you're afraid of them singing, you might look sort of fierce, of the color, the bright colors. But here this little wasp was going up and down the wall, and he was carrying a spider. It looked like a dead spider. And he was hauling this thing, and he was going up and coming down. And he was nervous because people were around. So we stepped back and watched him a little bit. And he dragged this spider, and he went down inside into the kitchen there. They had some wood stacked in there, not kitchens like yours, but anyway. They had stacked up some wood, and they went under this wood. And here in the sand, the spider, he laid down the spider, and then he dug out a little hole in the sand, in the dust. And he was down there, really kick his little feet real fast, and he'd kick out this, and he was making this hole. And then he'd bring the spider and lay it down in it, and he didn't like it quite right, and then he'd get it back out again, and he'd get down and dig some more, and he'd be throwing out little, real small little pieces of rock, and he'd be doing this. And by then, Paolo and I were down on our hands and knees, we're down there watching this, you know. The little boys around us too, and now what's he going to do with this? I knew, I'd read this before, the spider was not dead. The spider was paralyzed. The bee stings the spider, and the spider is paralyzed. The spider's not dead, because every once in a while we'd see him move a little. If you like spiders, poor spider. But he was paralyzed. And so we had this spider, and he'd dig, and it took him a while till he was satisfied. He had the hole just right. Then he put the spider in it, and then he did something funny. I'd never seen this before. He grabbed the spider and flipped on his back. And then he took his abdomen and he put an egg on it. We didn't see the egg. It was so small. We couldn't see it. And he laid an egg. He did that twice. I don't know if he put two eggs on it or none. But he did that twice. And he laid an egg on the spider. I'm not sure if it's on the spider or in the spider. And what he's doing, he's laying. And the reason he does it on the spider is that when the egg hatches, and this doesn't take very long. I'm not sure how long. Then when the little egg hatches, the little larva eats the spider. And that's why the spider's not dead. The spider is just, poor thing, he's just paralyzed. So when the little egg hatches, the little larva hatches, he eats live meat and it's fresh. If you would have killed it, why, it would have been rotting by then. But it's still alive, so they eat live spider. Don't like spiders too much anyhow, so who cares? No, I like spiders too. I've had pet tarantulas. But anyway, so he lays this on it. And the reason is then the spider is laying there, and he buried it. And then when the egg hatches, he eats the live spider. And then we were watching it. And then when he had satisfied, then he started closing it in. And we were surprised. We thought he'd just, you know, real quick cover it up and be done. But no. He spent an awful long, or she did, an awful long time digging in sand. And then she'd bring in a little bit of sand, just layer by layer, layer by layer. And then we noticed she'd move her back real funny. We got close, and I have a magnifying glass. I couldn't get close enough for that. I always carry this with me. And we're trying to, and here we found out that she'd lay the dust in there, and then she'd take her abdomen, hammer, air hammer. And she'd be packing the ground with her abdomen. And she took the longest time till she got that thing filling up and filling up and filling up. And I don't know, I assume that she's packing them in so good so the ants couldn't get in and eat the spider. I'm assuming that, I'm not sure, but she took an awful... We stayed there for a long time watching and gave up and went home. She was still not finished. She'd lay it so carefully, layer by layer, and she'd pack it, pack it, pack it. And the next morning, Paolo came back and he laid a stick there where it was going to be, and the next morning you couldn't see anything. It just looked like the rest around. It just covered up. Fascinating. I don't know if you're not silly like I am, but I think that's fascinating. But when I see things like that, I worship the Creator. God designed that. Each little insect, each little animal, they have a special design to do what they're supposed to do. And they do it. And they do it. That's the good part. They were designed to do something, and they do it. It's one problem we men have. If human beings have, we don't. But and then he made man too. We could talk more about that. The eye, well, it's the same way with animals, you know, just the eye. The eye is a marvel. Who can understand how an eye works? I can close my eyes, I can open my eyes, and I can focus. If you do a little, now your modern cameras do everything for you. I used to take pictures with the old cameras where you have to focus, and you have to adjust the aperture, and you have to do all this, and you understand a little what, you know, to be able to get just the right amount of light, not too much light, to make a good picture. All these things our eye does automatically. I can close my eyes and I can open them up and just a little bit there that I see you blurry, but then very soon, I'm seeing the gentleman by the brother back there with the glasses, you know, and I can open it, and then very soon my eye focus right in, I can see him clear. The way the eye can focus, the way the eye can, you know, open and close to adapt for light, the way our ear works, the way our brain works, the way our... And you look at all these things. And the best part is what I want to look at more later is our soul and what He planned in us, the purpose He has for us. But just today, just looking at the natural part, look at all this design, all this wonder. And our body is a design. Every you study your skin, you study your fingernails, you study your hair, you study your heart, you study your liver. Whatever you study is a wonder. Anything you study is a wonder. And the same way in the natural world. You go out and study rocks, you can study leaves, you can study spiders, you can study birds. Whatever you study is a wonder. There's a world in it. And again, did someone really plan that? I mean, who would have a mind that big to plan all that? But it's still more impossible for it to happen by chance. Impossible for it to happen by chance. It just simply shows how great, how big our God is. And by looking at some of these things, brings things in the right perspective. How big God is, and how little I am. How big God is, and how little I am. We can look at these things like it says in Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. For the invisible things of Him. See, we can't see God. The invisible things of God, the things we can't see, from the creation of world are clearly seen. By looking at creation, look at these wonders, then we can see the Creator. Not that we're seeing His person, but we can see His personality, His characteristics. By looking at nature, we can see. By using all this color and by all the power, we can, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So when we look at all these things, we see a wonderful big God. A wonderful God. A God who loves beauty. A God who loves order. That's true, Brother Daniel. In nature, it's the same way. You step out of God's order and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And if there's ever an experiment that's proven, it's human, fallen human nature. If anything proves that God has an order that works, it's seeing what's happened to human beings who have disobeyed God and are out of order, out of step with the Creator. And our things just get so messed up. So messed up. But tonight I'd like to invite you, let's look at this Almighty God. Let's love Him. To love Him, to believe in Him, to understand, who I am. Size has something to do with it. I'm really not very big. Sometimes we think we're big. Sometimes we think we're important. Sometimes we think we're pretty, But in light of God, it shows that we're really, we're pretty small. That's a good place to be. That's where God wants to be. We aren't the center of the universe. Sometimes we live like we're the center of the universe, Everything for me, like I'm big chief here. Everything goes got to be for me. A father can be that in the home. I can get that in my family. Just, everything for me the way I want it, and I'm big man here. But when we live that way, we're living out of sync. We're living out of step. We're not living the way God wants us to live. We were not made to be little gods. We are created beings and not creators. And so, one of the important steps to freedom is to realize who we are and what size we are. We're little. My wishes, my wants, my desires, God cares about our desires and our wishes and our needs. But our needs and our desires and wishes are not the most important thing in the universe. If you look at this, the great universe and all the earth and all that's going on, God's eternal plan, God's eternal mind, and all the ones we need to fit into His plan. And we say, sure, no problem. I'll give this up. No problem. Sure. Okay. Yes, God. Yes, God. Instead of, I got to have this. This is my way. This is what I think. This is what I think. And I feel like we're like a little God. And things got to run around us. No, it's the other way around. The step to freedom is to realize we're small and fit in our place. Give up some of that selfishness. We'll be talking more about that. Give up our selfishness. Give up our pride. And give up our determination. Freedom is when we give up and we surrender and we find our place. And we become small. You know the joy of being small? The joy of not feeling like you're the most important person in the world. The important thing is that I find my place in God. That I love God. I humble myself in the presence of God. And when He says something, even if I don't understand it, that's not important. It's not important to understand it. But when this great Almighty God says something, there's only one response on our part. And if we look at creation, we look at this, we see that's the auto. That's the result. There's nothing else. You know, I couldn't even start making one flower. I couldn't even start the wonder of a seed growing. You know, you take a little bean seed or your grass seed. The wonder of a little seed dies and rots, and that little live part in there grows, and a little plant comes out. You know, then the little plant comes out real tender, and then it grows. Just the wonder of that, the wonder of these things, bring us to where we should be on our knee. I couldn't even make one plant grow. I could maybe make a seed. I could take wood and I could carve it and I could paint it. It might look like a bean seed, but I cannot make it grow. That shows how small I am, how limited I am. And tonight I'd just like to encourage us, let's worship the Almighty God. Let's find our place. That's freedom. That's joy. It's becoming small. Finding our place in Him. And just worshiping Him and loving Him. I hope as you hear this, and not that I'm a good speaker, I'm not. That's not important anyhow. It's the last thing that's important. But as we just look at the wonder of God, you can worship. Worship is an important part of our life. We should do that on a daily basis. Just worship Him. And you have a song. We could sing maybe a worship, a song about creation. I'm going to close. Let's pray about this. The next evening's Pray For Me, I'd like we'd be talking about our response and our relationship to this great big God. And what causes all our problems when we're out of step with this God. And so let's just, brother, if you could find a song for us. Maybe you could sing that and then we'll have a word of prayer. Sorry, I caught you off guard here. Anyone here has a song on creation or the greatness of our God? Step up and lead that for us. And forget me, forget everyone else, and think about God. And think about the words when we sing and worship Him, the Almighty God.
Thank you.
Father, tonight we thank you for being such a great, big, wonderful God. Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. When we forget your greatness and we think we're great, we demand our own rights, and we fight for our own pride and our own wishes and desires. Oh Lord, have mercy and forgive us. Lord, help us to catch a vision of true worship, putting you in the place where you are. In my heart and in my mind, the deep parts of my heart, that I can give you the room in my life that you deserve and that you long for. Help me to break my pride and my selfishness and learn the freedom, the joy, the beauty of surrender and of worship, of finding my place in you, Lord, small and yet loved. You still love us and you care for us in a very personal way. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for the rest of the week and the other evenings that you would bless us with your presence. As we go home now, Lord, that we could meditate on your greatness and what that means to each one of us. Bless us with your presence. Meet our needs, Lord. Would your Holy Spirit tonight speak to each heart? You know the hearts. You know the struggles. You know the things we're going through. I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet us in a personal way. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.